And anyway, guys, we have a couple newcomers. Like I said, we have a bunch of new faces in the house tonight. We've got two in a row, but I'm sure they're going to do great, great stuff. Coming up first, Larissa Zagaris.
Thank you. There's no dog in this story. I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say most of the people in the audience watched their first Tom Hanks movie when they were a kid. Show of a round of applause. That's true. Great. And since we were all likely between the ages of 6 and 12 when we first caught The Burbs or Big or Sleepless in Seattle, Tom Hanks first appeared in our individual and collective subconscious not as the young, affable movie star he was in his first heyday, but as someone kind of old. Boyish, sure, charming, yeah, but old enough to be a young dad, or young detective, or young, vague sort of businessman. He was young enough to have what my middle-aged fifth-grade teacher mysteriously deemed presence, but old enough to wear suits, buy plane tickets, have sex, and be mad at his neighbors. Plus, he was the cinematic embodiment of something rarely existent in movies or even life today, the reluctant but reliable romantic. Could you count on Tom Hanks to pull out all the stops on a first date? No. But you could sure as hell count on him to pull together a really winning montage of 11th hour get the girl romance once he pulled his head out of his ass and realized this was it. Because of the cinematic antics of young, old Tom Hanks, we pre-aughts kids knew at least what the movie version of grown-ups did or ought to do. They were funny and grumpy and did big things for love when it came down to it while wearing a rumpled, slim-fitting gray suit. Sometimes there was baseball, sometimes there were mermaids, but always, always, always there was Meg Ryan. And Tom Hanks being the good guy, the real guy, the old enough to be your dad guy. Tom Hanks was the face of adulting when adulting was just called being an adult. And when we were all kids, we knew it would take us so super long to become our version of Tom Hanks level grown-up. By the time we did, we probably owned two houses with the love of our lives, one in New York, one in London. And I'll be a successful marine biologist with a rainbow tie-dye fashion sideline. When we weren't also being an actress and a writer and an independent but effective private detective who owned ponies. Yet here we all are. Tom Hanks was a movie star in the prime of his youth, and every single one of us are in the subprime of our youths. Mortality, yikes! People freak out about this. Yet a unique group of people tend to freak out about this in what is an at best entertaining and at worst teeth-gratingly obnoxious way, creative types. If you are or have met a creative type, you know a fortunate slash unfortunate side effect of being one is an impressive but soul-sucking desperation to leave some mark, any mark of yourself and opinion on the face of the world forever until the heat death of the universe and perhaps beyond. By the time you're 25. Oops. When this in all likelihood doesn't pan out, said creative types can turn to strange outlets to achieve some semblance of satisfaction in the search of their fool-headed goals. One of those outlets is the internet, more specifically Twitter. And before I get into the meat of this, I want to let you in on a little secret. I myself am a creative type, as is one of my best friends, Katie Johnson Smith, who spoke earlier. And though we may not look a day over 18, we are in fact more than a smidge older than 25. We don't own houses, we don't own ponies, we don't own our own independent yet effective detective agency or rainbow tie-dye fashion sideline yet. But what we do own and did, even in the early years of our friendship, is an endless love for each other and an endless desire to make something of ourselves. Fuck yes. And what we did own, along with a few other creative type friends of ours a few years ago, was a shit ton of free time to make fake Twitter accounts. It started as a bit between the two of us in 2013. A bit is what comedy folk call a joke, but the joke is usually only funny to the ones making it. This bit went beyond. In 2013, I was running an after-school program, and Katie was an assistant to a millionaire asshole. We carried out both jobs with mixed satisfaction, and a running joke for both of us was our love of the movies of our youth and her fanatic devotion and sexual attraction to young Tom Hanks. One way or another, we ended up each creating a fake Twitter account. Her, one is young Tom Hanks. Me, one is young Meg Ryan. There are a few ways more bizarre or satisfying than acting out your own deep but platonic same-sex friendship than by role-playing as young Tom Hanks and young Meg Ryan on Twitter. And we played this oddity to the hilt. At first, our playful, sleepless in Seattle-esque Twitter banter just struck our friends as another weird thing Lars and Katie do to amuse themselves. The tweets mixed real reality with movie reality, and our young Tom Hanks and young Meg Ryan fell in a same strained and sassy sort of love their characters did again and again on screen. Until young Meg Ryan met young Dennis Quaid, of course. Until the appearance of other youngs started adding themselves to the conversation. The bit between Katie and I became a bit between a small group of our friends, we thought. We didn't know who anyone was playing, and Twitter for notifications became a surreal blast from a past we never actually lived as young Julia Roberts cropped up, young Keanu Reeves, young Michael J. Fox, even young Eric Stoltz, young Terry Garr even. A panoply of movie stars who were young in the 80s, 90s of our youth were suddenly young again and on Twitter talking about getting stood up or coked up or traveling back in time. It was a strange, very strange fever that was spreading throughout a group of 12 or 15 of us. It went beyond a bit quickly as people chose their youngs because they matched some aspects of who the tweeter was or wanted to be. People played multiple youngs as well, and I found myself falling in love with my own creation of a young Chris Walken who tweeted odd non sequiturs and pointed observations when he wasn't showing off his tap skills on Twitter. I found some small part of myself becoming the awkward man with a dancer's body and a psychopath's brain I have always suspected lives inside my own human awkward woman body, and I was loving it. Other people were loving it too. The shy friend who found ease and grace in being a witty young Robert Downey Jr. The bigger guy who got to be young, handsome Chevy Chase. The private aloof friend who got to weird it up as young Keanu Reeves. The loveless friend who got to tear up the night as Terry Garr, banging her way through the new young Hollywood on Twitter. In the dead of night, before the real people went to sleep, in the pink of morning as we groggy and giggling checked our phones, the lunchtime crunch where we all felt less alone, less not so young anymore, together. If it sounds like I'm talking about a cult, it should sound like I'm talking about a cult. Whatever strange fire burns in the hearts and minds of cult members just before they drink the Kool-Aid or strap on their death Nikes. And I and a small group of our friends were feeling our own. We weren't just pretending to be the young, old, young versions of our childhood movie stars anymore. We were becoming them until the Twitter feds shut down the young Tom Hanks Twitter account. Before the collective youngs could recover from the shock, so too Big Brother struck down young Meg Ryan. Young Val Kilmer caught some static, but really, what surprise was that? The real surprise was that a handful of joke Twitter accounts with nay but 20 followers between them really posed a threat to any of the real celebrity brands we were co-opting. The fever to free the youngs now supplanted our fever to be the youngs. We hashtag free the youngs. We at-tagged, we begged the nameless, faceless Twitter powers that be to spare our dream tweet versions of ourselves. They didn't. And perhaps within 2 weeks of this strange phenomenon of feeling like we were our childhood movie heroes born again, some ageless legends returned to roam the Twitter earth in full guts and glory, the fever broke. And we weren't the youngs anymore. We weren't fake famous. We weren't fake in love. We weren't fake legends. We were just real and young-ish and ourselves. Boyish, girlish, yeah, charming, sure, but old enough to buy plane tickets, to wear suits, to be mad at our neighbors, to have sex reliably, romantically, and to be funny and grumpy and do things for love when it came down to it, to leave that of ourselves, at least, on the face of the world until the heat death of the universe and maybe beyond. Hashtag free the youngs. Thank you. Good night.
Voices of Eric everybody. Yeah. That made me feel just a little bit worse about Twitter. How dare they shut you down? Oh, that sucks. But that's so awesome that you did that. How many were there in total?
I ate a lot. I brought some printouts because they're not funny. I thought I'd incorporate them, but I didn't. So I can share.
Please. We'll put it on the Nerdlogs Facebook page.